It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown.
So we're running a little behind schedule this week, Corey. Any idea why that happened?
Some asshole tried to rape me. I don't know. You know, it happens apparently to many people, especially men dressed in full-on drag who get whistled at by a construction worker.
Oh, I remember my third grade year.
I can't believe that was happening to you in third grade.
Well, there's a lot of things you couldn't believe if you knew that about me.
In third grade?
And just me in general.
Oh, I thought you meant a lot of weird things happened in third grade.
And drag and attempted rape and against me, not perpetrated by me, obviously.
I was thinking the other way, so I'm glad you verified the which side the rape was on. Because when you're in third grade, drag rape is pretty serious. I know that was like a film we had to watch. One of those like educational films.
Hey, you were asking for it, dressing like that. What are you doing there anyway, you whore? You little fucking whore. You wanted it, didn't you, whore?
Well, speaking of educational films, in this week's movie, they watch an educational film on bugs, which is perfect because the main characters are bugs. In this week's B-movie Breakdown, which is the movie Meet the Applegates. I'm Corey.
I'm DRC.
And you know what I forgot to mention in the beginning of the show last week? Twitter and Facebook and website and stuff like that, you know.
That's okay. This movie's back in 1991. They didn't have any of that.
Oh, that's true.
Then.
That's true. But you can check all of our stuff out at bnbpodcast.com, especially iTunes. Subscribe on there. B-Movie Breakdown. Everything else is BNB Podcast, the Facebook, the Twitter, and the email. And that's at Gmail.
The Gmail.
So check that shit out. Yes, this week's movie is the 1991 film Meet the Applegates, or just The Applegates. It was originally titled Meet the Applegates, but I think home video release, they changed it to just The Applegates.
Huh.
For whatever reason, I don't know.
Ask, what home video release? Because, once again, you can't find this gem on DVD or anything
else.
Well,
I rented it from the video store.
Oh, I know.
That's where I saw it, so.
Most people don't have VCRs except for hipsters, and then this will probably be so, you know, indie mainstream is just not good enough for them. All the fucking kids are watching Meet the Applegates. I want to see outtakes from Sleepaway Camp 4 that didn't get made, but not the stuff that went on the fourth DVD in the box set, the stuff that was so bad it didn't make the cut for the fourth DVD of the unfinished film.
One thing I thought was weird on Amazon for this movie, there were some copies of VHS on there, but also quite a few copies of the soundtrack. Or the score for this movie. And I didn't know...
By a major composer, David Newman, who's done a lot of these supposedly... what do you want to say? Like these family movies, family-friendly movies, or the whole soundtrack is just always like the whole way through... He's done Little Monsters, The Sandlot, Jingle All the Way.
Beethoven? I don't know, I'm just... It just sounds like
I read his credits and I can't remember them all because there are a ton of them. But
all family movies?
Not all of them. In the more serious vein, he did Serenity.
Oh.
But for the most part, especially these past 10 or so years, it's been like that kind of thing. He also did Tommy Boy.
The music in that is very similar to this too, yeah. Now that I think about it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why the soundtrack for this movie, their score at least, is a big deal, but there was quite a few copies on Amazon I saw floating around.
Oh, just because, like I said, he's a major composer, and film music geeks really are into that. I wouldn't be surprised if they were, like, an expanded edition reissued someday. Possibly by La La Land, but who knows. Could also be, I can't think of the other companies that do this now. Fuck it.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm really surprised this movie doesn't have more of a cult following than it did. I had posted a promo picture on Facebook, and multiple people had commented about how they remember this movie, or, you know, like the picture on Facebook, and mentioned about that they remembered seeing this movie back in the 90s. I did find one review on IMDb that I did enjoy. Very angry at times, it seems. I'm sick and tired of people ripping this movie apart. Who cares why there's a scorpion featured in the opening shot when the movie's about cockroaches? Beetlejuice opened with a spider, and that's not the main character either. Yes, in this age of political correctness, there are flaws. Is rape ever funny? Funny that foul language isn't mentioned yet? I guess nowadays, it's too commonplace and nobody cares. Is rape just commonplace now? Is it just like...
Well, if you believe all the feminist propaganda, apparently 9.5 in every 10 women will be raped at some point in their life, so probably.
Well, there we go. So, low-budget special effects? Check. Cheesy dialogue? Check. Nods to John Waters? I guess so. I don't quite get that one, because I definitely had the John Waters. It didn't initially... I don't know what nods to John Waters films, but it definitely had the John Waters feel, especially movies like Crybaby and Serial Mom, that kind of 90s when he was doing the movies then. The person also goes on to say, I think this movie entertains. It also offends from what I've read.
I'm reviewing a movie.
Is it one of the worst movies ever made? Hardly. I can think of 50 films right now, recently released, that should be flushed down the toilet immediately. Hollywood excels at churning out bland, tasteless fodder for the mainstream masses. Stop taking it so seriously. It's meant to be a dark comedy, and that's exactly what it is. Now, where's my DVD? most of the other reviews were pretty straight-laced, normal for, I mean, the movie, you know, liking it and stuff like that, but I thought that one was absolutely hilarious, especially just some of the stuff they said in it.
He sounds like the guy that wrote the episode summaries for Cleopatra 2525 on IMDb.
Might be the same person, though this person didn't give it a star rating, so you're not really helping the movie out.
I didn't know that was an option. I thought that was like required, you know, like required fields must be filled in before it can be submitted. Like, I've never seen anybody like do a review on like Amazon and not have a star rating.
Yeah, there's no star rating. There's literally just the review. I like how the title of the review is "A Fun Waste of Time" by Itchy Globo 2003. They also did a review for Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Oh boy,
that's the only reviews they've ever done.
I'm gonna read that when we're done.
So they've done two reviews. And they were both on the same day. One was Meet the Applegates, the other, Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
I gotta turn out another angry review while I'm still angry.
Oh, people, just don't get how amazing Diary of a Wimpy Kid is. Though I have seen...
He said he used his toothbrush to get dog poop off his shoe. It's funny, alright? God!
They had to lick the cheese that's in the playground. All right.
We gotta have the annoying Indian kids. Hey, you have the cheese touch.
Anyways, back to the Meet the Applegates. This movie, I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. I thought it was just kind of stupid and silly, and it wasn't.
You know, I'm very surprised that like this came out in 91, but it was shot back in 89. We read so like the Soviet Union hadn't quite fallen yet, so I was surprised they went this route with, like, nuclear holocaust, NBD. Like, we're just gonna wipe out humanity, and so the bugs can take over the planet. But it's funny! It's a fun family film! We're supposed to feel, you know, empathetic with these characters the whole time. We're supposed to smile as they put on their little charade so that they can blow up a nuclear power plant. And even though they're not gonna destroy the world, they're still gonna take out a good chunk of Ohio, but it's funny!
What was this movie? Well, it was not really necessarily a family film. It was rated R, so...
I know, but the way they're playing it.
Yeah, it has the feel of
the score to it and everything else, and like, it's just...
I also noticed it was done by New World Pictures, a company that's not around anymore, but they also...
I wonder why.
They also did Crossworlds. so I remember that logo popping up in the beginning of Crossworlds when we watched that. One thing that I just didn't get about this movie, as much as I did find it funny and everything else about it, how did they become humans? It is not explained.
It barely is. When they're going to bed, like the first night, or they wake up in the morning, the dad gets up, he goes, okay, crawlers, rise and mutate. So I'm assuming that's what it is. They have some kind of ability to mutate into other species they come into contact with.
Then they're supposed to be very intelligent. And which they seem to be for the most part.
Well, except for they're able to spy and figure out all this American culture shit in pre-internet, which is amazing. But then they somehow don't know any of the vices or downsides to it at all until, like, oh, commercialism's so bad. And like, well, a couple hours shopping and now I'm just the biggest spend whore in the country. Like,
yeah,
I shouldn't do drugs. Like, oh, I had one hit off a joint and I'm just stoned all the time, bro. And I talk like this and I'm just like, I'm throwing in like some dirt slang so I seem even dirtier.
Well, he became the metal pothead he was supposed to be, so that all worked out for that character. But though I did find it funny that when he got real high, he bugged out. Oh
yeah, I thought for sure they were gonna play that, like, oh my god, they actually said that too, like, this must be laced with something. But I thought they were just gonna go with that, though. It was just like, oh man, do I still look like a bug? Yeah, you totally do, bro. That's funny.
No, instead he has to put him in one of their little cocoons or whatever they called him.
I hope they were cum cocoons. I really do. Especially when, you know, he's banging the girl on top of the desk, like, oh, she's gonna get a cum cocoon.
When
it's like, we didn't finish. Think again.
Though the fact that they're supposed to be so smart, apparently, why do some of them choose the wrong gender of human to mutate into? Do they not have a choice? Or did they? I just don't understand how they picked, or how they look, how they do, or they were able to pick. Were they able to just, they just get one, or did they kill that person and then that's how they become that person?
Maybe. That would have been a nice dark thing to break in, to bring into it. Just like, you know, some poor bastards walking through the thing. They're like, probably some poor worker who's barely subsisting. He's only doing this rainforest deforestation shit to barely keep his family fed. And, you know, somebody walks by, you just see a praying mantis claw pop out and rip his head off.
Well, they kill
people. And they just play the...
They kill people in the beginning as the giant cockroach praying mantis things, whatever. Their Brazilian cucarada is what they
were. They were chasing them around. I never saw any of them die.
Yeah, so I just didn't know where they got the genders from, because Aunt Bee, who I assumed was the queen, like the queen bee, the queen ant, or whatever, is a man, played by Dabney Coleman, who dresses as a woman.
Well, for the first half of the movie.
Then, okay. Why does he change clothes when he has to go through airport security and show his passport where he looks like a woman? You'd think you'd change clothes after, but I guess it didn't matter because the people at the airport are just like, whatever. Because they're like, here it says you're a woman. Like, why didn't he keep that? Why did he change clothes right before they got on the plane? Literally, right before they got on the plane, he changed from being a crossdresser where he's in, like, full lingerie to this, like, studded jacket with, like, a blue hat. Like,
well, I'd want to say it was to try to, you know, not arouse suspicion and fit in, but it's too late for that.
Yeah.
And then if you want to change into something to make you look more like a civilian, you don't go dressing in fucking cami shit like you're a goddamn general. Like, oh, this guy looks like a fucking guerrilla soldier. Oh, and what, you're coming from South America? Sure, come on up and cause some terrorist shit in our country.
This person mentioned something about there being a scorpion in the opening shot, and I saw a lot of people mention that online. I didn't really have too much of a problem with that. I didn't think that they were showing that because they were trying to show that that's what the bugs were. I figured they were just showing jungle things, because they show a bird at one point and a few other things. Yeah. I didn't really think anything of it. I don't know why this person was so livid about them. Or about people complaining about the scorpion thing. I don't know if that's a thing or something like that.
Well, if everybody was complaining about it, I'd think it was stupid too. But why would everybody feel the need to complain about that in the first place?
You know what else I wanted to mention real quick? If Mac and Me was a commercial for Coca-Cola and Sears, this movie was a commercial for Butterfingers.
Butterfingers and, to a lesser extent, I guess, Cuisinart. And credit cards in general, basically.
Credit cards in general, but Butterfingers were all over the place in this
movie. Yeah, that was ridiculous.
They're constantly just
it was just so terrible. Like, they're these people there are trying to teach these native tribe in the Brazilian rainforest English, and they're using it with an old Dick and Jane book. Even back in 1989, that was ancient and terrible. And it doesn't even teach you how to sound out words. It goes with the memorization bullshit. Just repeat the sentences over and over until the kids can parrot them back and call that reading education. It's bullshit and it fails, but anyway. So they drop a Dick and Jane book and a Butterfinger, like, these are our keys into American society. Candy bars like a motherfucker and outdated reading books from the 50s.
Also, two actors in this movie, especially, very underrated one, Ed Begley Jr., who plays the dad. I love Ed Begley Jr. He's in all the Christopher Guest movies, Best in Show, Final Tap, you know, Mighty Wind. Oh, he's in every single one of Christopher Guest's movies, and he always a character actor, nonetheless, in many other movies. But I think he's very underrated. I thought he did an awesome job as the dad in this movie. I really liked his performance. Also, Mr. Samson, the neighbor who was Otho in Beetlejuice and Associate Bob in Demolition Man, remake of Planet of the
but,
Apes.
But I know what was kind of interesting is in the first part of the video, in the sidebar for related things, I can't remember the actor's name now, but it said him, Otho, Mr. Samson, whatever.
Glenn
said,
Shaddix.
There you go, Glenn Shaddix talking about his anti-gay shock therapy or something like that, because he's gay, and apparently when he was younger, he was forced into getting shock treatment to try to shock the gay out of him.
Really?
And yeah. And when I first read that, though, I didn't know if it was going to be like, I couldn't tell from the title. It was kind of ambiguous that maybe it was talking about, like, oh, he did it and it worked for him or something stupid like that. So it wasn't until after I finished the movie that I went back to watch that video. But I saw at the end, or towards the end, yeah, at the very end, when the son says he's off weed now, I just got out of detox. Yeah, I've been straight for 3 months now. I was like, oh boy, oh boy. All the time, oh, he's a fag, he's a homo, what? Some homo from Akron, and like, yeah, I've been straight for 3 months now, like this subtext, but yeah, gays are wrong, fix that shit. Fix it, you fucking homo.
I don't know. It was, I don't know if that was necessarily towards him or anything.
No, like no, no. I but it, I when always, I was watching that before always, watching the other yeah. thing, that's what I thought.
I always thought. I mean, I kind of assumed he was gay. I don't know if that's wrong, but I mean, Beetlejuice and especially his character in Demolition Man was very. I just thought he was a gay guy, and apparently he is. He also was the mayor in Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
So, I mean, more Tim Burton connection there after the Beetlejuice and Planet of the Apes going on. But he was great as the neighbor across the street, who was an exterminator, nonetheless, that moved.
I don't feel like they exploited that like they could have or should have.
Yeah.
But it was entertaining.
Especially with his little sound device.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was going to come into play later on in the movie at some point, especially when all the bugs come to their house.
This ultrasonic weapon that, you know, people can't hear, but it drives bugs nuts and gets them riled up, gets them to come out of the woodwork, and they're just sitting here while this thing's just blaring, screeching.
You know what? We were mentioning before how smart they were. They're so smart they could hack into government files and government system and the census and stuff like that.
Oh, I love census data is like top secret. You can't have access to that. No, no, no. We'll let you work at a nuclear fucking power plant without any real background check to figure out that you didn't exist until a year ago.
How did he get the job?
But census data, eyes only, motherfucker.
How did he get the job?
I don't know.
Nuclear power plant.
I don't know. Maybe he started out diddling the secretary with his little mantis claw, and that's what got her going.
Dottie, she was hot for Mr. Applegate. That's
flip
for sure.
Little Dottie's switch back and forth a while. She greased the wheels with Mr. What's his fucking name.
She was definitely a bitch though, because once she got caught, you know, having sex with Mr. Applegate,
we're both fired and it's all because of you. Oh, really? Pretty sure you wanted to fuck too.
I want some severance pay.
Yeah, from you. I want thousands of dollars a month to not tell your wife that we are fucking. Fuck you.
Yeah, there were a lot of very interesting side characters in the movie. One that they didn't shine much light on at all, but they one interesting tidbit about the character was the gym teacher. They're like, wait till she corners you in the showers. I was like, whoa!
When did that happen?
It was when the girls, when they first show the kids in school, and the girls are walking in the... They're outside for gym class, and the girls are walking, and the gym teacher's like, you call that running? Blah, 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 blah. And it's like a female gym teacher, and then You know, you're going to pay for that something later on or doing push-ups.
Oh, you're going to get a bad grade, she said.
Yeah. And then they're walking, they keep walking, and the one girl goes, you think she's bad now? Wait till she corners you in the showers.
Oh, God.
I was like, what? I was like, oh, my God. That. Yeah, there were
the audio was kind of bad at first.
So yeah, the first of the nine, it was split into parts on YouTube. The audio was off, and it was a little bothersome, but then it ended up being fine the rest of the time. So I
like when they walk by the football players. Hi, boys. Don't pop a chubby on our account. And then one guy Vince runs up and Vince Sampson voted best hair in the senior class. Really? The senior year is not over yet. I'm surprised they voted on this shit already and that was even a category. But OK,
actually, I give best hair to the Motorhead twins. I don't know what their names were.
Yeah, me neither.
But they had Motorhead shirts on almost the whole movie, so I kept calling them Motorhead twins. They were kind of bullies, but kind of not.
Yeah.
It was kind of a weird line.
Then don't forget, I think she needs her temperature taken with an all-beef thermometer.
So there were quite a few sexual
weird
lines in the movie.
I couldn't believe
it. Well, as far as we were talking about Ambi before, just as a woman, when he's on the phone, or he is on the phone, talking to Mr. Applegate, and some construction worker, rainforest person, walks by and just whistles or looks at him, and he goes, some asshole just tried to rape me. Just like what?
Yeah, Aunt B, what's wrong? Oh, some assholes tried to rape me, that's all. And then decides to close off the conversation with, Applegate, you screw this up, I'll personally suck the juice from your exocranium.
And you were saying before...
And then he gets off the phone and tries to, you know, explain the rough conversation to his wife. She's like, what's wrong? Oh, Aunt B's just upset. Those darn queens. I thought she meant drag queens, but supposedly Aunt B's like the queen or whatever. I don't know if Mantis's have queens.
I think it was both.
But at the same, I was just like, I thought it was just, those fucking queens.
Well, that's what I thought about the same thing. Like, okay, it's the queen of the colony of Mantises or Kokoratas or whatever they're called. And... so let's have him dress up as a drag queen for a tiny bit, just so we can make that one drag queen joke. Like I felt that's why.
Occurred to me while I was watching the movie. I only figured that out when you said something.
And yeah, it was just really weird. But we were talking about weird lines that they say in this movie. My favorite one. Well, there was a couple others. Like, I'm not going to do that. It's church. When Vince tries to get Sally to go to the cemetery with
him. Yeah, he's like, come eat with me in the cemetery. She's like, no, I'm not going to do anything. It's church.
He's just inviting somebody creepily over to the cemetery.
Yeah, and after hearing from so many people, oh, yeah, I fucked a girl in church. I fucked her in the confessional. I fucked her. Like, it seems like that would be like one of the best plays to get laid at that age. Yeah, I'm going to church, man.
I also loved one of the bullies when they were talking about Vince getting kidnapped. If some butthole tried to kidnap me, I'd cut his dick off with my shiv.
Yes.
But my absolute favorite line, and I just don't know why anybody would assume this would happen after somebody's been kidnapped. Okay, at one point in the movie, they think that Vince, the all-star QB, the Samsons across the street, their son has been kidnapped when really Sally... has put him in one of the little cocoon things.
Which apparently is a suspended animation chamber.
Yeah, it's a suspended animation cocoon.
They have him that way for months, and not feeding him, keeping him conscious or anything, and supposedly he's just fine once he gets out of it.
I thought it was killing them.
Yeah, I did too, when I first saw this movie as a kid.
Well, even in them watching it now, until the end of the movie when they explain that they're just cocoons or whatever, I thought they were killing them. So... one of the girls drives up next to Sally and is like, oh, you heard about Vince, blah, blah, blah. And then she goes, bet some perv has him tied up with barbed wire, juicing his testicles with an electrical cattle prod.
Yeah.
Like, why? Is what, that assumed?
What high school girl just goes off on that? Oh, my God. I bet he's ass raping him with a baseball bat with rusty nails sticking out of it.
Like, why would anybody assume that? Out of all the things you could assume, and she goes, unless he's already dead. Like, okay, yeah, that part's fine, that he might...
Yeah, and he's at the bottom of the Chiquita-Hoochie River. What a river name for Ohio. The Chiquita-Hoochie River. Keep it up, guys. Keep it up. Oh, and I love how, like, this is like a precursor to Elf, because these guys are bugs, they like sugar, so apparently they just sit down to this dinner of, like, this giant brick of chocolate where they have this thing, like, shave off slices of chocolate, and they pass around a bowl of sugar, and the mom has a bottle of syrup later in the movie with a big giant straw coming out of it.
Oh, just... at dinner they all had syrup bottles with straws. Okay. Yeah, but
and like, though... I found a wonderful pile of rancid trash behind 7-Eleven for dessert.
And she's like, cooking's getting pretty easy around and being in a being a human, and all she's doing is cooking giant things of chocolate. And,
what, how do you even cook that? I just assume you go to, like, some kind of surplus or candy store and buy the block, just slam it on the table and just bring out the slicer. Here you go.
Though, they kept eating candy and sugar things the whole time until towards the end, they're eating KFC.
I missed that. Why did that happen?
It was definitely, that was a KFC little product placement. There was a big bucket of chicken on the table and a bunch of boxes, like, of the biscuits and stuff.
I guess that was to show that they descended into the decadent American consumerism that they're fighting so hard to put down with their nuclear terrorism plot.
Yeah, and then
nuclear, remember?
Yeah.
Nuclear. Well, he berates his son at the beginning of the movie. Lesson number one, most people say nuclear. Next time, get it right.
Okay, because the kid goes, it's nuclear. And he goes, no, humans say nuclear. And
everybody else says it straight-faced through the rest of the movie.
Yeah. One thing that was confusing about the movie itself was the plot. That they were going to blow up the humans in just this one spot? How big was this explosion expected to be?
Well, they even say at the end of the movie, the dad admits, you know, one nuclear meltdown isn't going to wipe out all of humanity, you know?
Yeah, so, like, was that the company that was deforesting their... jungle, and is that why they wanted the revenge?
I don't know. They never really
the idea of why he was working at the nuclear power plant wasn't even clear in the beginning.
No.
I didn't even understand. I just was like, okay, he's got a job. I didn't even know why they came to the United States or to suburbia or whatever. I just to infiltrate, to learn.
Well,
I just didn't understand.
They're really like shoddy, shitty, like, you know, super yupped out, watered down, kiddified version of environmentalism propaganda bullshit. That took forever. They're saying at the beginning of the movie, like, oh man, the people that are down teaching the natives, I could really go for a pepperoni pizza right now. And the chick's all indignant, like, in 6 months, you'll be able to get one here. Jerks, biggest forest in the world, and they want to turn it into a cow pasture. And at the end, I think either the dad or the wife, they say something like, you're clear-cutting the biggest forest in the world just so that you can have beef patties for a nickel cheaper. If that's really what's going on, I really doubt that it is. This, you know, nerfed version of what, oh, we just hate consumerism in general and bleh. Like, if that's really what's going on, I doubt that the nuclear power plant they're trying to blow up is connected to it, really. But, like, yeah, we want to get revenge, and we studied everything else so hard so we can come and fit in, but we're just, you know, you just found something and whatever.
Really?
Midwest is suburbia, so that's what we'll do. We got the suburban disguise thing going on, so why not Ohio?
Yeah.
It's right by Akron, where all the homos are, apparently. The kidnapped boys. From suburbia.
He had leads on three of them. Three.
Yep.
Three guys named Terry K. Or whatever. Three.
Last name starting with K. Yep. As they go looking for Mr. Sampson's son the day after he gets kidnapped and cocooned by their daughter. And, you know, they're...
After he rapes her, though. If anybody deserved to get cocooned, it was that guy. Because he raped her.
Right. But I'm saying, like, they don't really say anything at first, and then they come back to suspect the daughter, and then she just spins this bullshit story about, oh, he wanted me to come meet him, but I never did. He said he got beer, got it from this guy.
This
guy from Akron.
Who was real friendly.
Oh, yeah.
And then the cop's like...
What was his name? Terry? The last name started with a K? Just like, I just spin this bullshit and... Okay, well...
And the cop...
I won't investigate you anymore, ma'am.
And the cop was like, oh, experiencing any sort of homosexual tendencies with this old guy?
He just gets all conspiratorial about, you think there might have been any... homosexual activity.
And then she goes, you could say he's in the closet.
Yeah.
Yes, he was in her closet. Oh, zing.
At one point, too, I think the mom comes over to visit, and she's talking with, you know, the Applegate mom, and she's got her her daughter's closet open. She sees him in there and, like, tries to just quickly shut it. And, oh, nothing to see here.
I did like the whole Sally thing was really weird. Her whole story arc alone, because she was kind of...
Oh, they're all weird, though.
Yeah, they're all really weird. Hers was very interesting how she was, like, you know, she's supposed to be, like, the wholesome girl, but she clearly has these, like, slutty tendencies.
Well, it, like, initially happened right then. Like, the guy, Vince pulls her into an open grave at that church picnic, and she comes home all dirty. So I assume they had sex then.
Yeah, I thought he raped her then, maybe, or something.
So, like, I don't know why she wanted to see him again after he pulled something all aggressive like that, and she didn't like it. But then, you know, that happens. And in the middle of, like, he just throws her on a trampoline and literally just starts ramming her. And then she's like, no, no, stop. So she starts to transform into the bug, and she gets grosser. Like, her skin's turning all pale and, like, slimy. Her eyes turn, like, these big white, like, pussy orbs, like they're about to burst. And then it reminded me of this line from this German film that I saw with our mutual friends from around here down at ISU called Antibodies. It was kind of like this, this German cop is working with this captured serial killer. He's kind of like Hannibal Lecter to try to find out more of his victims that they didn't know about, to try to, you know, bring closure to the families. And the guy's fucking with his head the whole time. He's like, what do you think about when your wife, you know, and when you're having sex with her at night, do you just keep hitting her harder and harder and just think, I'll fuck you till you burst. And like that gets in his head. And then later he goes out and cheats on his wife with some whore. And he's just on her from behind. You like this? You like this? I'll fuck you till you burst. But then she's looking like she's literally about to explode. Like, I'll fuck you till you burst, bitch.
When Vince was fucking Sally, was he saying mommy?
He might have been.
I could have sworn.
Who knows?
I could have sworn he was like fucking her. He was like, mommy, mommy. I was like, oh my God, this is twisted. Like, talk about a black comedy for sure. Some definitely some weird things going on there. And it may, I mean, even to begin with, Vince just seemed kind of rapey. He just had that like rapey vibe to him. Like, he was very aggressive, very like, oh, you know.
My rapometer was going off the charts.
And, when she went to go meet him, she was driving a Volkswagen Beetle.
Ah! The Bug family has a bug car. I'm surprised they weren't playing Donkey Kong 3 with Stanley the Bug Man, but I guess they'd hate him because he kills bugs. Well, that was funnier in my head.
This is true. But his dad also killed bugs for a living. And he compared exterminating to religion and great sex.
Yeah, yeah.
That's to him, that's what exterminating was. It was a religion and great sex. Oh, also, we were mentioning what other people had done that are in this movie. Johnny, it was in the Tremors movies. The first one and the third one, he played the kid Melvin, who was the son of the store owner.
The kid Tremors. Melvin, who was, in fact, a Melvin.
Definitely.
Jeez, it wasn't that.
Just like nobody uses that anymore, so the term Melvin. So I thought that was funny. I don't know, you know, some people just wear Melvins.
Sometimes you just gotta throw it in there.
Sometimes you just gotta throw
that's
it
around. That's what Vince told me. Okay. Even if they're saying no.
That's what Vince said about Terry. So Vince had to pay for the beer somehow, and it didn't really seem like he had a job. You know, he had to pay with his butthole. With Terry K.
Sometimes you gotta pay with your butthole.
Terry K. You know, and then when he was done, he's like, you gotta clean off this shit.
Yep. Yep. Gotta get rid of that shit, Dick. That is a must.
I also liked the idea to raise money.
Oh, yeah.
To find Vince.
Well, Vince disappears, and then the Motorhead twins.
The Motorhead twins disappear
after they have their freak out, and the son transforms while he's smoking pot with them, and then he cocoons them too. So they're like, "We've got three missing kids," which is a pretty big thing. But then they all just devolve into like, "Oh, we have to come up with a fundraiser to put these kids' faces on milk cartons. Oh, let's have a bake sale. No, let's put on a musical.
People are neat."
Yes, people are neat.
That was the name of it. And so, throughout the movie then, are they having, like, rehearsals or something a lot? Because why is Greg Sampson dressed in, like, Asian clothes? I assumed it was part of the musical because at one point his wife is dressed up in a costume next to him. But he's wearing this multiple times.
Wow, you paid more attention to this than I did. Which is unusual.
It just was like threw me off. It's like, why is he dressed like
maybe
this?
Maybe I just got used to thinking in my head, oh, this is Otho and the guy from Demolition Man. Of course he's wearing weird shit.
But for the most part, he wasn't, though. He was wearing, like, Hawaiian shirts, or tucked in Hawaiian shirts, or, like, a polo or something. He was just, like, the this American, you know, whatever. I thought his character was hilarious, but I just thought that was really weird. Especially the line he gives at the people are neat thing, where he's like, who have I ever find my son? I'm gonna greet him with church mentality or whatever. And then skin him and use his skin for chamois cloths. I was like, holy yep. shit. And then, Sally, we got off topic a little bit when I was talking about Sally. She ends up pregnant.
Yeah, she ends up, like, seemingly instantly getting knocked up, but then they cut back, like, oh, it's been 3 months. Like, they don't do anything to let you know how time is moving in this movie at all.
Yeah, she said she's 3 months pregnant.
And she's more like 9 months pregnant by that point. Yeah, seven or eight, anyway.
She's somehow able to suck it in. And she, like, unties her thing. But she's going to some sort of meeting or whatever.
I'm assuming it was, like, a single mother support group. But yeah. She doesn't bother to tell her family at all. Why would you not tell your family?
And she hasn't been going to school. And she... it's really weird, the time frame of this.
So, like, they...
Which kind of makes sense. Now that you mentioned about the time frame thing, I kind of forgot about the 3 months. But I felt like her pregnancy was shorter than a normal pregnancy.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because... But you mentioned that, and now it kind of makes sense to why Aunt Bea and them were so angry at the Applegates. Because I was kind of confused, like, why are they coming here? Why are they attacking them? Why are they tying them up? And I was like, I guess because they didn't get the job done, but maybe it's been so long and they were supposed to do it sooner.
Yeah.
That's all I could get. But now you mentioned the time, she mentions 3 months...
Some bugs die in a couple weeks, so that was probably like forever to them. 3 months, my god. Fucking Highlander, you couldn't get the job done in 800 years.
Well, she's at that single mother support group, and where she meets her girlfriend, Gail, so now she's apparently a lesbian.
Yeah, but like, this is the only time they show this, they don't show them together any other time, except when Gail drops her off on her butch-ass motorcycle out in front of the house.
And then at the end of the movie, she's back with a dude.
Yeah,
but it's like it's an aunt or
which seems more in line with the anti-gay propaganda. Like, oh, see, she was just confused. You couldn't naturally be gay. No, she didn't know what she was doing.
I thought maybe at the end, Gail was gonna be there with them or something, or because they made lots of jokes like, "Hey, Butch, what's up, Butch?" She had revealed that she was a lesbian at this point.
And then. Okay, where the dad decides to shift in his giant praying mantis form to somehow better crawl through these narrow air ducts to break into an office to get documents he needs to somehow pull off this nuclear explosion thing. And then, how would this work at all, considering these mantises are so huge? But he gets the documents, sneaks out.
Why did he change?
But then he shifts back into human form. He's completely naked. Well, and knowingly...
Janitor took his clothes.
Ah, well, still. But he's... He's running around naked around the power plant, then runs into his office to find his secretary, and, oh, we gotta fuck now, and just like, oh, what the hell, why not? And then, like,
Well, he's not getting it at home from, Jane.
Right. Because, like, normal housewives have sex with their husbands. That's a lie, from what I've heard. And my bitch ex-wife, who stopped putting out when I put the ring on it.
Well, that's what she said, too, in the movie.
Yeah, like, they don't. Not from the research I've done.
Yeah, but her whole thing, the reason why she didn't want to do it is because it wasn't mating season.
Well, you know what? Praying mantises, the women kill the males as soon as they finish anyway. Sometimes they don't even wait for them to finish, you know that? They cut their head off in mid-sex, but their body still survives for a while, so their body's still going to pump and finish.
And you know what? I thought that was going to happen when Vince was having sex with Sally. I really...
That would have been amazing. Because
her arms come up around his head. So I thought that she was going to rip his head off, but they're not praying mantises, they're Brazilian cucarachas.
Yeah, but they look like praying mantises.
Basically praying mantises.
But their arm doesn't have, like, that extra foldy thing, it's just got the one claw, not, like, the double.
It was like they took, like, a praying mantis costume, but then they had, like, arms of, like, ants or something.
Yeah.
Then, like, they just combined shit together to make these costumes.
But anyway, the dad Dick, he's banging the secretary. Dick's banging the secretary. But he does it again. They decide to throw shit off the desk and turn his intercom on. So everybody hears what they're saying. He's like, yeah, you ready to get up on the baloney pony? Yeah. And then he goes, I'm going to splay you like a Cornish game hen.
Yes.
My God.
Yes. Yes. I was like, oh my God. Like,
Vince is fucking what's her name till she almost bursts. And then this, I'm going to rip you open. I'm going to tear from your V to your A. I'm gonna rip your cervix, goddammit.
I just love that line of the baloney pony. I seriously was laughing my ass off. I thought that was fucking great. So, yeah, that was just really, really... Everybody's story arcs were really weird as to becoming more Americanized. The mom's, I felt, was more accurate for the times. Though she went crazy spending, but that was, like, a thing, a big deal then, like, credit cards. I mean, it still is, but, like, it was, like, the boom of credit cards. It was, like, that time. So I could see that and her like wanting to be like your atypical suburban housewife and
atypical. If she was atypical, she wouldn't have gotten credit cards.
That's true. Well, you know what I mean.
Curses foiled by my vocabulary again.
Well, she was your typical. She was atypical.
Ah,
housewife.
Okay.
Yeah.
Turn it around, Randall. Well, you can see how it's right then. What with the diary and all.
Yeah, you know, Anne Frank, the deaf, dumb, and blind chick.
But, like, I should feel sorry for him just because I got legs that still work? What kind of mindfuck shit is that?
One thing also, too, was really weird. Everybody had a weird, interesting story arc. You know, Johnny becomes this metalhead stoner.
Oh, that, dad becomes that was so weird because he tries pot one time from the twins and then cocoons them. How does he know how to get more? Because not only does he become an addict, supposedly, he becomes a dealer. How does he know all this? How did he get this information?
He's like, oh, so-and-so is one of my customers. And everybody has their weird story arc. Even the family dog has a story, a mini little story arc.
Well, they don't
and
even.
It's really a bug.
They don't bother to let you know that it's a bug until, you know, almost right before it dies.
Which it's like a mosquito type of fly hybrid looking. Like
the sun decides to get the dog high, then it transforms into bug mode and breaks out of the house, and then ends up in the Samson house where they end up killing the thing.
The dog, yeah, their dog killed it. Yeah, and it still had the.
But then it gets up and tries flying around. So they knock it down, and then they just drop a. Would they drop on it? Something, but like, if I would have seen a bug like that and it was really moving around, I would have flipped the fuck out.
Oh yeah, that big?
I would have flipped the fuck out. But then, they crush this thing on their kitchen floor, and the wife just goes, damn it, I just mopped this floor. No concern at all. Oh my God, good fucking God in heaven. How did a bug ever get to be this big? Is this the insect apocalypse? Run! Flee!
He does take it to the local college. To get research done.
Yeah, and then he gets it back. Why would they give it back? That would be something you'd hold on to. That would be a fine. No, we'll give it back to you so you can mount it and put it on your wall.
He was an exterminator, though. So maybe he was into that kind of thing.
Yeah, they taxidermy insects a lot, huh?
Yeah.
Huh? Oh, look at this tarantula I got down in South America. Yeah, I got that thing's head mounted on my wall. It's so normal. It happens all the time.
Well, maybe he just had bug collections because that was one of the school projects
he had to do.
You
know, the trick about taxidermying bugs now is you got to be careful not to completely destroy the exoskeleton. You got to keep that intact while you're stuffing it.
You know what? That might have happened. It might have happened. You were talking about when he brings the bug to the where they're doing the rehearsals for the play or whatever. You know, another weird character was the priest.
Yeah.
The pastor.
Pastor Cooter.
He was definitely a very weird character. He was very creepy. He'd give up the super creep vibe for sure.
Yeah, my rapometer was also going off on him.
Yeah, when she brought the pie and he was like, oh, thank you. Oh. He was very, very, very weird. So, we forgot to mention another part I thought was really funny when Aunt B was trying to hitchhike from Brazil to Ohio.
Yeah, he decides to show a little leg and a boat just passes him by like, asshole.
And then he throws that guy in the piranha-infested waters.
Yeah, he throws one of his own guys in there, gets devoured by piranhas, then the boat pulls up like, help, help, my son's drowning. So the guy's like, what? Like, not even necessarily gonna help, just like, what the fuck's going on here? And he throws the other guy in the water, who gets eaten too. Like, oh, we got a boat.
And then I loved that at one point the dad, Dick, he is watching curling.
Yeah, he's like, what are you doing? Why are you home so early? Huh? Just figured I'd take the afternoon off and watch some curling, you know. So then,
because that's American.
Yeah, and the wife, she gets on like this ridiculous spending spree. She keeps getting more cards, maxing them out, getting more cards. She finally gets the bad news that, you know, they're not going to give her any more cards, goes to the bank and gets bitched out by the banker and like, yeah, if we don't get payment in a week, we're going to repossess your house and all your shit. Like, yeah. Holy fuck. So then what is she calls the guy and she mumbles asshole under her breath and then he goes, that mark's going on your permanent record, Missy, because like, you really have to worry about a permanent record. With you have a credit score, but like, oh, she called me an asshole. Demerit. Office referral.
Well, maybe for that specific bank, they'll write that down and be like, okay, she can't come back here anymore. She was very rude. But it's not going to be like a permanent like public record where
it's
like
your permanent bank record. Yeah. So well, then what does she do? Out of nowhere, they don't give you, like, enough of her desperation to make you believe, like, wow, this is happening, or why is this happening? She just decides to hold up a convenience store. Like, give me the 5s, 10s, and 20s, and don't dick around with the 1s. Oh, and give me a pop in this, too. And
then yeah, but, like, how, like, if they're that strapped from cash, you're not gonna get that much money from a fucking convenience store.
You'd think, if anything, she would have robbed that bank, like, I'll show you, fucker.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
There's a mark on your permanent record, you fuck.
Yeah, exactly what I was thinking. And then they have Sally go off on the whole, I forgot to mention that too, when she's a lesbian, the whole, all men care about is pussy thing.
Yeah, she literally says that. All men care about is pussy. I mean, it's true, but like, you don't say that in a family movie. You should, but you don't.
And when the people come to repo their stuff...
Oh, wait, they have a big family argument before this. She comes down the stairs and they find out she's pregnant. They find out, you're pregnant with a half-human, half-insect baby? And the dad just goes, you gotta get rid of it. Like, oh my god, you're not in this, not in my house, Missy. You're getting an abortion. When the son comes down, they finally only just now piece together he's a big pothead. Like, whoa, you're pregnant? Ugh, like... So then they start fighting and bitching about something, and I forget what it was that set it off, but the kids start choking each other. When they start choking each other, they start playing that irreverent little music again. It's so silly! They're choking each other! And then the dad goes, you know what? Let them kill each other! I don't care anymore!
Yeah, it was really weird. And then they get their stuff repoed, then this magazine people come... From, like...
Family Bazaar. Well, we checked your information against census data, and it turns out you are the most normal family in America. And there's a prize for that. What sick fuck, what sick goddamn fuck decided there should be a prize for this? You are the most normal, the most average, the most by the book, the most unexciting, the exactly the way you're supposed to be family.
They got a fucking brand new house and a motorhome and... So, like, $10 million for being the most normal family.
But they let him in, and they're telling this whole story while they're walking through the house, very obviously seeing that every last piece of furniture has been taken from the house, and don't notice anything until the daughter comes down pregnant, and like, if she's as ripe as she looks, the deal's off. You have a pregnant daughter? Fuck you! That's not normal! Get that shit out of here! Pregnant women? Women don't be,
well, shouldn't
be pregnant!
Well, they start going like, what happened to all your furniture and all your stuff? And then the guy goes to fight Sally. Like,
yeah.
She pushes him. I get it. Okay, whatever. She pushes him. She's pissed. Why would he fight her back?
Yeah, he goes to fight her. And then she starts to go into labor. He goes, oh, God, she's going to blow. Yep. She's pregnant and about to have the baby. That's an explosion. So then she you know, falls to the ground and, like, shoots out, like, this giant, like, insect egg. And they're just like, oh, what is that? If a woman, I don't care if something pops out of a woman's vagina, it looks like alive, it's alive, you don't kill it. They're like, what is this? Oh, they just throw a big fucking thing on it and crush it and kill her baby.
He stepped on it.
Okay, he steps on and kills her baby.
I know. My mind was blown. And also, when all this is happening, Johnny's like, I'm just too stoned for this. Yeah. I can't believe this.
And he walks off.
Stoned.
And then they rather than kill these people, which they probably should, they just cocoon them too. But really, like, you know what? At first I wasn't sold on this, but honestly, what other movie can you see where they kill a baby and then make, like, such lighthearted fun of it all? I lost my firstborn because some asshole decided to step on it, but whatevs. I've moved on. I'm having another kid down in the rainforest, so it's all good.
It would have been an abortion of a baby, though. I mean, it would have been a half-human, half...
Well, it looked hybrid. Like it looked like she was with another guy down in the rainforest too, human guy. So
no, she was with a bug.
No, well,
because it just wasn't in human form. It was a bug. She's like, oh, this is Matt or something, and it was a bug. Yeah, so it was really weird. The transformation scene I kind of liked when they start freaking out on the two guys. When the dad starts transforming, his transformation scene was the only time you ever really seen him mutate fully.
Yeah.
And I thought they did a pretty good job with that because Sally didn't fully...
But then what do they do? Do they decide to mourn this baby, this member of this family?
No, they decide to go on a little trip out to the woods.
Oh, well, they left us the camper, so let's go on a family trip out to the woods. And then they're in the woods a few hours, just like, oh, see, darling, everything's normal and wonderful again. And, like, the kids are running around doing Marco Polo. Like, oh, see? Oh, my God, they're having so much fun. Everything's amazing.
Yeah, they're instantly super happy.
Well, they come back after being gone in the woods a couple days and just like, yep. It's like all these other movies we've seen, like, and just like that, everything's perfect and fixed again, even though it's not.
But it wasn't because then they came back.
Well, they had to stop Aunt Dee, but, like, their family dynamic, like, yep, we're good. We're good now. Everything's fine. Just go to the woods a couple days.
And then when...
Going to the woods washes away dead babies.
Mr. Samson finds out that they're bugs. Instead of... Well, he saves them. Instead of taking down all the bugs who are in the basement, like digging this hole, doesn't even bother to check down there for more giant bugs. Like, oh, you know what?
I just got to get to the power plant where they're probably going to arrest me on site.
And then I gotta go to the town hall where they're setting up for this play. And I gotta tell them that they're bugs so there can be a public hanging.
Yep.
Literally, there's gonna be a public hanging until the sheriff decides to help them. Why does he decide to help them?
Yeah.
Because he feels sympathetic because maybe he's the only one that somehow believes them about the nuclear plant. But why should he believe them? They're bugs that put him in a suspended animated cocoon. Like, I just don't get it. I just didn't understand why he would just instantly trust them.
Well, I don't know much in life, Corey, but if somebody cocooned me only to rip me out months later, losing months of my life, and telling me that there was a nuclear plot to be foiled, by God, I'd listen.
I did like the bug fight in the nuclear plant. I thought it was pretty funny.
I wish it would have been more of a fight, because there wasn't really much to it.
It wasn't much to it.
But I also love
how... The only thing I liked about it was the arguing back and forth in bug language.
So before that, when Aunt B pops out in human form, this tunnel just pops up inside a nuclear power plant, because you can just do that. Even if you dig through the ground underneath, yeah, we'll just chop up through concrete and steel and God knows what else. It's just like, oh, hey... I got some dynamite, just lights a stick of dynamite, and two, like, scientists in radiation suits try to dive out of the way, and it just goes off like it's a little firecracker. It doesn't do any real damage.
Causes, like, a fire. That's about it. And I loved how the plant was glowing green.
Nuclear lightning going on from all the black smoke now coming out of the stacks. Like, it seems like the radiation leaks already happened, which we find out later it did.
The humans, the Samsons and the sheriff go visit the Applegates when the ending was very anticlimactic, as in the fight scene wasn't much of a fight scene, but I thought it was funny the banter between Aunt B and Dick, because it was just so silly in bug language this argument was happening.
Yeah.
It was just...
It's subtitled the whole way. And, like, they rear up like they're about to fight, and what do? Spit or puke on the floor in the same spot in front of them, but then Aunt B decides to go walk through it and slip, and then Dick just knocks a machine on top of him and kills him.
Yeah, I didn't understand the whole point of them spitting their little cum out over the place.
Yeah.
You were talking about you were hoping it was a cum cocoon, and that was pretty close to the cum you're going to get in this movie, because it literally looked like they were just shooting cum out their
pre-fight mouths. Bukake, let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, now let's fight.
Yeah, then Dick tells Aunt B to, like, come here, or, like, with its hand. Actually, at one point I got confused as which one was which.
Yeah. Because, like, you're saying all those insects look alike, Corey? Fucking racist.
I am. I'm an insectus. And I love that was what you would call it, but insectist. Yep, that's what I am.
Well, first step is admitting you have a problem.
Insecticism. Problem. I have to get through it. 12 steps. 12 steps to fix my bug problem. So, yeah, in the end, then Dick just starts pressing buttons.
Yeah.
On all the things.
Just randomly press buttons, even though I didn't work with any of this. I worked behind a desk the whole time as an administrator.
Yeah, I really don't know what his role was in the plant, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't operations.
Nope.
So, yeah, I don't know. And then they just end up in the jungle, back in the jungle. The Samsons are visiting them.
And the sheriff.
And the sheriff, yeah. And then they're all happy-go-lucky.
And they're just like, well, there was a little radiation that got out. They all lift their hats and they're all bald, like, oh, radiation poisoning. What you gonna do?
And they've started some sort of coalition or something.
Yeah, we decided this wasn't the best idea to try to wipe out humanity. We started a petition instead. Want to sign it?
And then the grandparents now, too, because Sally ended up having like a billion babies, which one of them also almost dies until Mr. Samson catches it. I thought it was going to be another death of a of another
child. Well, at least this baby didn't die just after it was born. Well, one out of two ain't bad, right?
Well, she had like eight of them, so...
I know, but... Like slippery, like, you know, cannon shooting births.
Yeah. Just the movie was really bizarre. A lot of weird things. A lot of things left unexplained. Many things left unexplained in this movie. I thought it was still funny, even though there, you know, you have some issues with things being left. They just happen. Things just happen, and then they don't get an explanation, and you just kind of have to go along with
things. Just happen, but sometimes they don't matter because they just act like they didn't even happen. It's like, I lost my first baby, but rather than be upset or mourn or traumatized, whatever.
It's like that episode of Futurama from this past season with the president who wasn't born.
Oh, right.
And then he gets elected, but because he got elected, none of that happened. So he
was erased from memory.
Yeah, so then they all just forget. They're like, who was that guy? What are we doing? Like, it's just,
I love Fry's line at the end. He just says, so innocent and childlike, wow, I guess it really doesn't matter who you vote for.
Yeah, just that's like a perfect example of this movie. Just like, oh, well, you know, this happened, but we're just going to forget about it for now and be happy in our merry way on our RV. Because I'm assuming, I don't know how they ended up back down in South America. Like, after this whole town knows that they're bug people, they let them go, and they're just happy, I guess, because they helped save the town for the most part, besides some of the radiation leakage. So they were able to help them get back to... And didn't the government not have any cares about this nuclear plant that almost blew up?
No. Pre-September 11th, nobody gave two fucks about anything. As long as they weren't communists, they didn't give a shit.
Well, yep. I guess that's true.
They'd probably be more worried about Brad Maddox and all his business with the Chinese.
At Brad Maddox is WWE on Twitter. Check it out. Good stuff. I thought it was funny for the most part. There were some troubling issues with certain spots in the movie. And like I said, one thing I did confuse it with for sure was the movie Matinee with John Goodman, just because of the ant bug, giant bug aspects of it. So they came out around the same time. But... yeah, so that was Meet the Applegates from 1991. Or 1990, I'm not really sure the exact release date. Because it was 89 filmed. It says 90 on IMDb. For some reason, I thought it was 91. Well, next week, we are going to be joined once again by a former guest from a couple weeks back, Mr. Nick Tyranno, for the 2000 film Ready to Rumble. This stars David Arquette and Oliver Platt and Scott Cann, also along with many WCW superstars.
Well, this is important because this movie came out, I believe, just after David Arquette won the WCW title.
So yes.
You get to see him pre WCW champion, and you could tell the difference that made in his character, the films that he went on to produce after this, such as Scream 3 and Scream 4.
Yeah, sometimes two heads are simply more than one. That's what the poster says.
You know, about the only thing I really remember about this movie is the one kid that they're hitting up for info on the location of Jimmy King, and he's got the shitty, shitty dad. Just keeps bitching at him the whole time. Apparently it's girly and gay to be on the phone, so like he tries to relay these quick messages to him. He's like, get off the phone, you fucking pussy!
Yeah, actually, I'm pretty sure that's Shermanator from the American Pie movies. And Angus and a few other flicks. Yeah, Ready to Rumble, I remember seeing this movie when it came out in theaters. And apparently did awful in theaters. It budget $24 million. Box office worldwide, $12.4 million.
Wow.
So
So it did. It made half its money. You could definitely tell that this was the dying days of WCW.
Well, see,
considering shortly after this they were bought out. So
the unfortunate thing is production probably began on it before it started dying, and then by the time it came out, it was too little, too late. You know, you kind of can't help, because at the time I thought, you know, when they started making the movie, at the time I thought things were still decent for WCW, but
actually, David Arquette became champion post the release of the movie.
Ah, I figured it would have been beforehand as a promotion, but I guess
no, not. It was to generate publicity following the release. So just after it came out, which is one of the worst things ever happened in WCW history. I mean, lots of really terrible things happened in WCW history, and this is definitely...
Well, at least they didn't give the title to Chucky. Although, if they would have stuck around, maybe that would have happened.
So, you know, apparently John Cena has a uncredited appearance in the movie as a gym trainer before his WWE days. And the soundtrack for this movie is apparently also a thing, too, because there's tons of copies of it. So, yeah, next week we will be joined by a special guest, Nick Tyranno, once again. And we'll be covering the 2000 film Ready to Rumble. This movie, from what I remember, I thought it was funny when it came out. This was 2000. Seventh grade, or possibly eighth grade at the time. You know, my mind could have been elsewhere. And plus, wrestling was huge, so why not love something with some of your favorite wrestlers? Even though I was more of a WWF person than a WCW fan, you know, you had Sting.
Yeah, me too. But
you had Sting, Goldberg, DDP, Randy Savage, lots of pretty big stars in the WCW world there. So that'll be next week. Ready to Rumble, David Arquette and Scott.
No, I'm still waiting on the sequel, Ready 3 Rumble.
Oh. Well, there was a video game called Ready Number 2 Rumble.
I know.
So, the video game was a boxing game, though.
Yeah.
For Dreamcast. Yeah. Just saying.
I'm sure most of our listeners.
Fine, Dan. Well, for B-Movie Breakdown, and I don't know what else to say.
And,
and shit dicks everywhere.
www.janitorspenis.com.
Yeah, check out janitorspenis.com. Great website. Well, yeah, B-Movie Breakdown. I'm Corey.
I'm DRC. And you know what? Should beg. Should beg to lick the shit off my dick.
It's the best of the worst.